making birds. What a surprise. And what are you making them out of?
Clay.
Clay. And then what's going to happen? You know, you would think they were going to get fired, although the words "you were fired" don't really help me these days. But they're going to dry all by themselves so that next week, if you come back, you could paint them if you want. And if you're not going to come back, you can take them today and they will dry at home. What do you think about that? Pretty cool, right? Do you think that you can blow life into that bird and make it fly away? What? All right, that's it. Clean up this clay. We're not doing this. What do you think the point of that story is, that you can blow breath into a clay bird and make it fly? You're giving it life. Do you remember what the last thing that was said was? Remember who you are. What does that mean? That's okay, the grown-ups don't know either. Or do you? Do you know who you are? Look at them, nobody's raising their hand. See that? Do you know who you are? Do you know to whom you belong?
I was going to say a child of God.
A child of God. You can't go wrong if you say God, Jesus. Right? Isn't that what Sunday school always taught us? I'll tell you something that seminary taught me. And I know I've shared this before. I had a friend in seminary, very, very dear friend, more annoying than I could ever be. Yes, that's true. Don't say a word. And whenever we would get into any kind of theological arguments, excuse me, discussions during our classes, David, could you turn that down just a tad, please? Thank you. She would break into the conversation and say, "Wait, where is God in this conversation?" Which could be really annoying, because if the goal was to win the argument, we really didn't want to bring God into it, because chances are we were wrong. But that's kind of a question that we find ourselves asking a lot these days, isn't it? Where is God in this conversation? Where is God in this conversation? Where are you in this conversation? Anybody else feel like that? Really? Three hands? Yeah, I know you better. Sometimes we're afraid to ask that question because we're afraid of the answer we might get. Sometimes we might be told where God is in the conversation. But intellectual exercises aside, what is it that makes us ask that question? What is it that makes us say, "Where are you? Where are you?" We had a very nice tempered reading of the psalm today that really asks God, "Where are you?" But the original Psalms, the Psalms of Lamentations, come from a place of the Israelites having been thrown out of their home, away from where God literally lived to them, and they were in great despair and desperation. And so when they would yell, "Where are you? What have you done, or what have we done that you've abandoned us? What do we need to do to get you back? And why aren't you here, for crying out loud?" There was a despair and a sadness, and their hearts were just turned upside down. And you might ask, "Well, Claire, that's a real bummer for the first week in Advent, when we should be talking about peace and getting ready for Christmas." But that's the ridiculousness of this particular season, the ridiculousness that asks us to take a moment or two or ten and say, "Where have you been? We so need you, and we don't know where you are." This past week, was walking my dogs. And I am not far from a trailhead to the Greenway Trail, which is a pretty extensive trail. And this trail has become more and more populated with tent villages of homeless who don't know where to go. And so they set up these little villages along the way, and they surround an area where they have fires in the morning, little cook stoves even. Somebody passed our house and saw an 18-inch chimney and said, oh, that would be really helpful on the trail and a lot safer than what we're doing. And when I go out there, it's usually sunrise, and I'm usually walking two of my four really bad dogs. And I have never been greeted with less than a hello, have a good day, like your dogs, excuse me, ma'am, how are you? Every time, pardon me, greeted with a smile. The other day I was coming back from my walk and coming up out of the trail, and in front of me was a gentleman who was bundled up and clearly shuffling up the trail towards Springs Rescue Mission. And ahead of him was a toddler, maybe 3 or 4 years old, in a big oversized winter coat with a hood up and in his PJs, shuffling up just a little bit ahead of him, and he was keeping up. And as I got a little bit closer, I realized that the child's mother, whom I assume was his mother, was coming from the shelter probably with a bite to eat and clearly with some warm beverages because the steam was rising off. And this little guy ran to meet her, and she immediately squatted down to zip up his coat and give him a big hug and kiss. Pardon me. And I noted that how many times had I done that with my own children? Knelt down to receive a real slobbery kiss, to wipe their noses, pull up their coats. And in that moment, there was a transformation of sorts, of recognizing that I was walking in an extension of my own neighborhood. But I will admit, it quickly passed. And I found myself saying, where are you? Where are you in this? Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, Claire, right there, see, with the bomb in the sun, right there, God was there, right, right, I get that. But where are you in this? In this, in the messes that we've created, in the messes we can't get out of, in the heartbreak in our hearts that are just crying out for something, crying out like the psalmist in Lamentation, saying, where are you? What have we done that you have gone so far away from us? And what do we need to do to get you to come back? Because try as we might, we can't find you. And we have to take a look at that if we're going to light the first candle of Advent, which talks about peace on earth, goodwill to all. We have to first be able to access what that peace could feasibly mean here. Because if we don't recognize the peace that dwells within, the peace that had been promised throughout generations upon generations, if we can't access it and feel it here, how can we see it there? You know, one of the brilliance about the Psalms is this. Nowhere do we read the Psalms that people are second-guessing whether it's okay to yell at God. Nowhere is there a, ooh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm either going to tick God off, or that's not very Christian of me, or whatever. Quite the opposite. What we see people who are mad and sad and angry and scared and frustrated, and their God, to their perspective, has deserted them. And there is permission in that psalm to yell and scream and have a temper tantrum and be afraid and say, come on already, where are you? We need you. And isn't that what we're talking about as we enter the new year on the first Sunday of Advent. We need you. We need help finding you. We need help remembering where you are and how to access you. We need to remember to ask the question, where are you in the conversation? I love this quote that I stole from an Episcopal church website. We have to work really hard to get our web. No, I'm just kidding. Advent is a time of preparation for life in a world where God doesn't stand outside creation, but enters fully into the world of sorrow and hope, joy and suffering, and all that we inhabit. The familiar refrain, O come, Emmanuel, reflects this sense of yearning in a world that is not only God made, but God infused. The word Emmanuel is a translation of the Hebrew words, which quite literally means God with us. During the Christmas season, it is with this-ness of God that we will celebrate. The celebration demands some spiritual preparation. After all, when we see an infant born in difficult circumstances to a poor, unmarried woman, most of us are not generally oriented to notice first and foremost the radiant and real presence of our God. Or when we see a toddler emerging from a homeless camp, embracing his mother as the sun rises, we may be more inclined to judge than to see the manifestation of the divine in the embrace that they share with one another. Advent, then, is a time to orient ourselves or reorient ourselves to see God in lowly people in unexpected places. But we must take a look at the fact that we may be the first lowly and unexpected place, that our hearts, which sometimes we do not look to or care for, may be the ones who are screaming out. And it is those lowly and unexpected hearts that we carry that is the place where God dwells. We are all called to remember who we are and to whom we belong. And so cry out to our beloved, demand some proof that you've not been abandoned. Seek what you desire, and then be open to the truly messy, sometimes exasperating, confusing relationship with our God, so that you can actually find and experience the peace that has been offered to us time and time again, year after year, Advent after Advent, Christmas after Christmas. Let the people say, Amen.